Thank you, preacher. Well, we're glad to be here again, and we're glad to come here. Some churches you go and you preach and you drive away thinking, well, if they never ask us again, it'll be okay. Sometimes you come and you'll try to get liberty in the pulpit, and the Lord gives it. Sometimes He doesn't give it, you just take it. And this is a place that when we drive away or fly away, we think, man, we hope we can come back again. And that's not working on next year's invitation. But we do enjoy being here. And so thank you, because your pastor and his wife make that happen. But it doesn't stop there. We love staying with them, staying in their home, eating their food. Man, I'd come back just for her cooking, to be honest with you. But you'd extend that. The church does that. You make us feel welcome. You make us feel at home. You make us feel like we once were members here. That's a good thing. That's good. And so you do well at that. So we appreciate it very, very much, and for allowing us to come. And we're going to get back and hit it hard. Semester is just around the corner, and you're sending a couple of new ones to us. Thank you for doing that. And for the ones that you've sent over the years, thank you for all of that. And we've survived Hallie. Several years after, and we just had to hire some extra security when she was there. Many of you have wondered, how did we do that? Well, that's how we did it. But no, I'm teasing. I'm really just joking. No, I'm not. I was sitting up here, sitting down there, watching Buddy and Hallie sing, and sat there this morning seeing Brother Andy up there singing in this group, and I said to Pam, I said, he never sang in Heartland. What's he doing up there, you know? And so you're really, Lighthouse has become, for many, and I think many that are back home, a training ground. You know, the local church can at times send them away to get some more training, building upon what your pastor has done and what the youth pastor has done. And when they come back, and then when it works, because I've seen it where they've come back, various churches, and it isn't always a situation. But you do it differently. You do it very good, actually. And so I commend you on it, really do. And thank you for your prayer support over the years. I know that when I went to Heartland now over 18 years ago, your pastor was already involved in the college in leadership and prayer. And so your financial support, all of that is just needed. We don't want to do it without your prayers. We can't do it without your prayers. And we sure think that if the prayers are coming, then the realization is that there's finances. We love to think that our students graduate completely free of student loans. Going into ministry debt-free is absolutely a game changer for some little churches that could never have hired a staff person because of the maybe a huge, colossal debt related to student loans. So thank you for that. There's no telling the eternal rewards you'll receive, because there's churches all over this country and this world that now have Heartland graduates working at because of your support and prayer. So we thank you for that. Well, I've had some parents come to me and say, I'm making my kids come tonight. Resolutions, conflict resolutions. Well, it's going to be like that, but it is. I would honestly say that if you are the note taker type, then this will be a message that you might just jot a few things down. And if you're not, just do as you normally would do. Forgive me this evening if you see me kind of poking my left eye. I have one contact in the monovision thing. And sometimes when I go into a different part of the country with different things floating around in the air, sometimes the contact gets all messed up. And so I'm poking my eye, because when the contact is out of its place, I'm seeing one and a half of some of you. That's very scary for some, and so I'm not trying to be distracting, but that's what I'm doing, because it's getting scary. I'm fixing my contact, so forgive me for that. If you would, I'm going to invite your attention to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read just a few verses. What a great song, Miss Cherie. The message that's in the words there, and what a great song service we've already had here this evening. And what a great group of young people that have returned tonight for the evening service. You all are to be commended. I don't think tonight's message is going to be, boy, you need to fix this, you need to fix this. It wouldn't be what I'd call a repair message. I don't know that it is. I would envision it for the whole church body as somewhat of a preventative type message, not a fix it. But yet we're people. We're all human beings, and we all have relationships. And sometimes we have conflicts within those relationships. So with that in mind, if you put yourself into the setting that we find here in Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 1. Therefore, and Paul says, my brethren. Let's just stop and think again. Who is this written to? It's written to the brethren there in Philippi. Is it written just to them? It's written to them, but it's written for our admonition as well. So we would say this is written to the brethren. And can I say it this way? We be brothers and sisters. This is written to the. This is not written to people outside of the church walls. This is written to people inside. This is written to saved people. So therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, see the endearment and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Wow, what a just a sense of affection and love that this preacher has for these people. He says, I beseech Odias and I beseech Syntyche, two ladies within that local church, that they might be of the same mind in the Lord. A little bit of study would show us within this book that these two ladies were having a conflict. They're having a conflict within their own relationships. And he says, and I entreat thee also, not just them, he names them out. He says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. He's talking about a group of people who have labored with him in the work, in the church, in the family of God. Already giving us indication that within that group of people, there can be some conflicts within relationships. It's here. He wouldn't be bringing this up if there wasn't a need to bring it up. And then he goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? God. And the peace of God. Watch this now, which passeth all understanding. Think of conflict resolutions now. Which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he says, finally, he's almost there. Brethren, who's this written to? The brothers and sisters in Christ. Watch this now. That's the beginning of verse 8. Look at the end of verse 8. The end of verse 8 says, think on these things. Think on these things. That's how he ends verse 8. Now go back to the beginning of verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things. These are the things that he's about to list for us that he wants us to what? Think on. Are you getting that? So before we read the list of the things he wants us to think on, realize this. This list is a list of things he wants us to think on. He says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. First point of the list, whatsoever things are honest, we're working through the list now, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Then he says this, those things, that list of things he just gave us to think on, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's that next word? Do. Do. Watch this. And the God of peace shall be with you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would allow this day to end. A day when everyone in this building that would be in the group that we've referred to as the brethren, Lord, that we would end this day with a better understanding of how you want us to resolve any conflicts that we might have. So, Lord, in order to do that, I'd ask you to remove me from the process. God, I would really like just to step aside and watch the power of your word and your spirit to work in the lives of these, the people. So, Lord, give us this time that it can be fruitful and productive, and you can be pleased with it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much. Let me just kind of give you a little bit of an idea of what's happening in this passage. In verses 1 through 5 that we just kind of skimmed over there, I tried to emphasize some things, but in verses 1 through 5, Paul gives us an indication already in chapter 4 that there's a conflict going on within the church itself right there in the Philippian church. There's two dear ladies, and I'm not saying that ladies are the only ones that have conflicts, that's for sure, but he calls them out. He tells them, and he says, you're supposed to have the mind of Christ to each other. You're supposed to have the mind of Christ when you think about another brother or sister in Christ. That's verses 1 through 5. Then verses 6 through 7, he talks about this. Basically, if you have a conflict, you ought to handle it in prayer. You ought to talk to God. Rather than worrying and worrying about the relationship, we ought to regularly give our problems with other people over to God and pray about it. That's verses 6 through 7. 1 through 5, he talks about having the mind of Christ to each other. Verses 6 through 7, you ought to regularly give those problems over to God in prayer. And then verses 8 and 9, he talks about basically this, thinking. And he gives us the indication in verse 8, this is what you are to think on. And if you think on it, then it's going to affect your living. So right thinking is going to produce right what? Living. Right thinking, verse 8, is going to produce right living in verse 9. That's where we find ourselves this evening in just verses 8 and 9. But before we go any further, I want to tell you a story. Pam and I have been married 29 years, June 30th, 7:30 Friday p.m. in Florida. We got married in that month at that time, and it was hot. It was a hot time in Florida. Central Florida is a hot state. Most of the time in the summertime. And I remember a couple of months into our marriage, we were living in a little concrete block home. And it was our first little experience in terms of me ever living out on my own away from my mom and dad and such like that. And I can remember our air conditioning system. It was late August. Our air conditioning system was broken. It wasn't working. So I called up a buddy of mine. I had a buddy at the church named Ronnie. He was an AC guy. And so I called up Ronnie and I said, hey, Ronnie, can you come over and fix the AC? The AC's broken. Getting pretty hot around here. Ronnie, telling you, we really need you to come over and fix this. Listen, before I come over and fix it, have you checked your filter out? I said, no. Ronnie, my AC unit's broken. Would you just come on over? You're an AC guy. Come over and check my unit. No, Jeff, go check your filter. No, Ronnie, you're not listening to me. The AC unit isn't working. It's busted. Come on over. He says, no, you're not listening to me. Go check your filter. And I said, well, okay. So I said to Pam, we're just married a couple months, go check the filter out. I got Ronnie on the phone, go check the filter. And she says, well, where's the filter? I said, Ronnie, she doesn't know where the filter is. Well, why don't you tell her? I said, Ronnie, tell me where the filter is, would you please? So he told me where the filter was, and I said, Pam, go check the filter, would you? It was getting hot. It was a hot August day. I mean, we were hot. We were having like our first hot experience. Man, this thing isn't working. First thing I said is, what'd you do to it? You know? Yeah. Went and checked the filter. Pam came over and the filter was just dirty. That was a mess. I said, Ronnie, she hasn't cleaned this filter. It's dirty. I'll go get a new one. And so I said, Pam, go get a new filter. She went down to Walmart and got a new filter. And came back, put it in, and man, cool air. I said, Ronnie, I fixed it. Fixed the filter, fixed the AC unit. Now, there's a little bit of exaggeration. She wasn't mad at me at all, but and it was getting hot, you know, in our house. I'm thinking if we didn't get this AC fixed, it was going to be a hot household. Yeah, we needed the filter checked, one, changed. You know, we have filters in everything, don't we? I mean, every aspect of life, we filter our water, we filter our oil, we filter everything now. Yeah. In a sense, we need to filter everything in our minds. And it affects our relationships with one another. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking to the brethren about their filter, their thinking filter. We all have filters for everything. This isn't new. This is not a new concept to us. Paul provides a list of 8 little filter points right there in verse 8. I mean, it's simply a list of things that are filter points, and let's work our way. Right thinking, I'm going to be repetitive on this, right thinking is going to produce right living. Do you remember that? So let's flip that. Wrong thinking is going to produce wrong what? Living. So we're going to be talking about thinking. That's right in the scripture, verse 8. Verse 9 is living. So wrong living is the product of wrong thinking. And basically, we're going to look at these things. And there's a list right there in verse 8. You can see it there with me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. There's the first filter. So you're having a thought about somebody. You're in a conflict with someone. You have a relationship with someone, whoever that someone might be. And now you're thinking something about them. Whatever you're thinking about them in this relationship, here's the first filter point. Put your thinking, that thought about that person, to this point. Is it true? What you're thinking right now, is it true about this person? Is it trustworthy? Can you verify it? Does it agree with facts? See, if you're in a conflict with someone, it's essential to know that you're dealing with facts, verifiable. Dwelling on things that are not true, things that haven't been proven yet, only intensifies the conflict. If something is not of the truth, then it is a lie and it is connected to Satan. Christians should focus on true thoughts, John 17, 17. So the first filter point is this. You're having a thought about a person. You need to put it through this filter. Is it true? Can you prove it? Is it verifiable? If it is, then continue to think it. Is it true? Can it be verified? Do you know it to be fact? Check your thoughts. That's the first filter point. The next, he says this, think on whatsoever things are honest. Oh, define that word. It's very simple. Honorable, worthy of respect. We should not focus our attention on something that is dishonorable. We should focus our attention on honorable thoughts. Dishonorable things and permit them to control our thought life. You could ask yourself this question. What you're thinking about this person over here, right here, is it decent? Is it honorable to be thinking that about that person? If it isn't honorable, stop thinking it. Don't let that thinking go down through your process. If you do, it's going to produce wrong thinking, produces wrong what? So if you find yourself thinking something that is not honorable about that person, decent, don't think it. Another thought, another process. We're talking about thinking. This is not an idle message. We are told to be thinking. Verse 8 says we are to think on whatsoever things are just moral, ethical things, blameless things, righteous things, right living. Does it fit into God's standard? If you're having a thought about this person over here, if while you're having that thought, ask yourself, does this fit into God's standard? Would this be something God would tell me to think about this person? If it does not fit, does not filter, then stop thinking it. Because if you continue to think upon it, it's going to produce wrong living. The scripture tells us this isn't a message about psychology. This is basic Bible principles. Wrong thinking produces wrong living. Simple. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way, but this is extremely We can all get this, and we're supposed to think on whatsoever things. If you acted out your particular thought, you're having this relationship with this person. It might even be that you're not even in a conflict with them. You just have a relationship with this person. If you acted it out, if you have this thought about this girl or about this boy or about this individual, if you acted it out, is it honorable? Then if it's not honorable, you shouldn't be thinking it. I wonder if this is a good thought. Ask yourself, is it honorable? Is it verifiable? Is it truth? Is it just? We're working our way down through the filter now. We're down to another point. Pure. Think on whatsoever things are pure, chaste, innocent. Does this thought about this person pollute my thinking? Is it a worldly way of thinking? Will it protect or endanger my purity? Since, and I think if you have been around breathing the last few years, I think you'll agree with me, we live in a sexually charged culture. It's just a disgrace now. With all those thoughts that are thrown at us, and I think of these young people as rapid fire as they have them thrown at them, we must remove those things that trigger us to think impure thoughts. It could be as simple as this. Music could trigger your impure thinking. Yeah. I promise you, if you go all the way back to when rock and roll hit this country, and if you started to look at the lyrics, you would find nothing but sexually implicit lyrics. And it's raging today to the lyrics of modern day music leads and talks and elevates some of the worst wicked things mankind does to each other. I mean, if you're having relationship problems, it might be that you need to quit listening to some of the music you're listening to. Or maybe watching some movies that you watch, or maybe the books that you might read, the social media sites, the internet usage. Those triggers need to be filtered out. Cultivate some friendships that build on purity. Pure thinking, watch this now, pure thinking leads to pure what? Living. It's logic. If you're wondering, I have a problem with, and you fill it in with impure thoughts. Well, why do you? It's because you're thinking on it. You need to remove those thoughts. Because it's gonna, if you think it long enough, eventually, more than likely you're gonna do it. I'm talking about thinking. And then we're told to think on those things that are lovely, pleasing, acceptable, friendly things. Does this promote peace? Will this thought that I'm having about this person solve or add to the problem? And then we're told we have a good report, praiseworthy, commendable. Will it help anyone to have this thought about this person? Will it tear this person down if I have this thought? Is it a good report? And then virtue. Is it a virtue? Is it of moral excellence? Is it good quality? Does it motivate you to do better to think this thing? If it does, then keep on thinking it. But if it causes you not to think of something that you would do better, then don't think on it. It's a filter. And then last but not least, is it worthy of recognition or is it praiseworthy? Is it worth ruining your mind thinking on some of these things? Would people praise your thought tonight if they knew what you regularly think about? Paul encouraged the believers, this is written to the brethren, to think on these things. This word think, just a little bit of word study on it, means to think in a detailed manner, not a quick glance of, but in a detailed manner. You know what I'm convinced of? And just my observation in life, many of you would have much more experience than me, but I have found that we are all prone to mull things over and again in our minds, whether they're true or not. To remain on the path that will lead to a godly life, we must make sure that we screen every thought. Please, Paul tells us, don't let your thinking go unfiltered. That's verse 8. That's the verse on thinking. That's the verse on the filter points. Now let's look at verse 9. It's a verse that we're going to examine here again. Let's look at it again. He says, those things, this is referring to the list just previously, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in, what's that next word? Me. This is the preacher talking. You've seen it in me. And the God of peace, he says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul provides a godly life that serves as an example of filtering the thoughts so that we'll produce actions. Paul is talking about in verse 9, actions. In Paul's ministry, he not only taught the word, but he also lived it so that his listeners could see the truth in his life. Now, listen to this. The Philippian believers were blessed to observe an example Paul had firsthand. You might look at this, and if you look at verse 9, and you say, yeah, the preacher is supposed to teach it, he's supposed to live it, and that's what he's supposed to do. So it's almost like, yeah, there it goes. We're given this list in verse 8, and then in verse 9, let's get the preacher. You're supposed to live it and teach it and do it. Come on, preacher. You're out of context. This isn't written to the preacher. This is written to who? The brethren. Read scripture in its context. Paul is saying, it's right there. Folks, I've taught you all of this. You've heard it. You've learned it. Your testimony reminded me of that, ma'am. You've learned it, and it's changed you. You've seen it. And then he says, then you now have the responsibility, the brethren, the family of God, to now go what? Do it. Amen. Do it. So this isn't to the preacher. This is to the brethren, right there in verse 1 of this chapter. It's for the brethren, for the family. Now watch for a moment. Dads, look up here for a minute. Granddads, men, leaders. Your children here, it taught, preached, and lived before you for 30 plus years. For some of you, this is the only preacher you know. You're blessed that way. But when your children, dads, this is about the family of God, the brethren, when your children see you hearing it and seeing it taught and seeing it lived out before you, and your children don't see you doing it, you undo a lot of good. Your children are supposed to see you, dad. Now, this isn't a men's meeting, but I'm a male. I can't. Pam speaks to the ladies, and I don't. Yet it may apply to some of you. But we're supposed to do it. You have a preacher, and I'm not trying to uplift him and embarrass him at all, but you have. And this is the case on a lot of different church levels. You have a preacher who's living and teaching the Bible. That in itself gives you all obligation to now go do it. Regardless of whether you're at the pinnacle of what of his preaching level, whatever it might be, you're supposed to go do it. So before we just kind of bump around, we ought to just sit down as men and ask yourselves this question. Am I doing these things? Or do my children see me thinking on things, producing things in my life that will not match up with verse 8? Am I as a dad thinking upon things that are not true or things that are not pure or things that are not of good report? You have to ask yourself that question, because in Paul's ministry, he taught them and he lived it, and he tells them that you are now supposed to go do it. And I'm not trying to get anybody mad at me, especially the men. I'd hate to have a whole bunch of men mad at me, but then we're leaving at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, so it's not a big deal, but my whole purpose is this. We are supposed to be doing what we just read in verse 8. And it applies to all biblical teaching. Can you imagine if the children, or your children, let's be real, or your grandchildren, or the young people of this church saw the truth of God taught over and over and over again, but they didn't see the adults doing it. Not good at all. If they followed his example, he sees that in verse 9, you're going to have the peace of God. Remember, we're talking about conflict resolutions. You want to have peace? You want to have the peace of God that you can handle relationship struggles with people? You have to be able to go through this process. You have to bring it to God in prayer, and you have to realize that living through this filter is a way that you can change your thinking. It's a great way to live. Here's the central idea of what's happening in this passage. Paul exhorted the believers to filter their thoughts and actions that they might enjoy a relationship with God and God's people. This will fix conflicts. By filtering your thinking is going to fix the living. You might say, but they don't filter their thinking. That's their problem. That's not yours. You filter your thinking. That's going to fix your living. It will fix conflicts. You have to filter your thinking. And you'll find biblical joy within relationships. Remember the filter of the story at the beginning when Pam and I just got married? That was 29 years ago. 4 years ago, Pam and I bought an old farmhouse, and it was a mess. It was, I mean, the old farmer thought he was a carpenter, and he wasn't. And it needed repaired. It needed renovated really, really bad. I mean, man, and so we were tearing down walls and tearing down popcorn ceiling over here and over here. This was textured ceiling, and then over there they had tin stuff, and some of the floor was plywood, and some of the floor was tile, and some of the floor was, we were tearing things down. I mean, big time. And we were trying to habitate in there a little bit and live in there a little bit, and everything was just, and I realized this, the air conditioning system wasn't working good while we were in this renovation project because we were tearing things down. A lot of dirt, a lot of dust, bigger mess than just living there. We were renovating the house. The Cope's new home was being renovated. And the filter got really dirty, really fast. It wasn't just that we needed to check it and go clean it every once in a while, every 3 to 6 months. We needed to go buy a brand new filter every couple of weeks. Because the Cope's home wasn't just being lived in. It was being rebuilt. It was being renovated. Our home was having some things torn down. It gets messy when you tear things down. When something's been built and it's been there a long time and you know it's got to come down, we got to get rid of that. It creates a lot of mess. So we found ourselves in that 6 month renovation project buying filters a lot because we wanted it to be somewhat of a cool, comfortable home. Maybe you're here this evening and really your life, your relationships with spouse, with moms and dads, husband and wife, you're just not living. It's like you need a renovation. You need some things torn down. Pam and I were having, in a sense, a restart to our home. If you're here tonight and you really want to fix some things, it might just mean you just don't need to check your filter. You might need to replace it. Because when you're in a rebuild project, it can get pretty dirty. You know, just think of it this way. This is a filter that Brother Andy got me. I have never seen a filter like this in my life. This is an Irish accordion filter. I'm joking. It tells you the flow of air. The box had some things on there, what it's supposed to filter through. I mean, if you went down to the local box store, it's going to tell you if you buy this color filter, it's going to work on, you know, allergies, and then it's going to, the next color works on smoke, and the next color works on all sorts of different levels of air filtration problems. It even has a QR code on it, because we're kind of lax in our memory. It even gives you a QR code to tell you when to remind you to go, say, check your filter. So just picture me tonight kind of like a QR code. I'm just here tonight reminding you. Would you check your filter? This is pretty clean. It's brand new. Cost Andy, I think he said, $40. I'd never pay $40 for a filter. But this is going to last him a long time. He just needs to check it. And every once in a while, Sheree just needs to clean it. Or Andy. Can I ask you, do you have any conflicts right now with moms, with dads, with one another, within your marriage? If there is, run your thinking through the filter. We need filters all over the place. Why wouldn't we have them in our relationships with the brethren? That's what the scripture's talking about. You want to know how to solve a conflict? Conflict resolution? You don't need to go down and buy a leadership book. It's in the Bible. Amen. It's thinking. Don't be thinking about this. Don't be thinking this thought about this person if you haven't even verified that it's true. If it's not praiseworthy, if it's not honest, of good report, it's not a good virtue, don't be thinking it. God provides a filter. It's very easy tonight. If anything, would you please, I beg you, would you please at least check your filter tonight? If you don't, it could get real hot in your relationships. Maybe you'll check your filter and you'll say, you know what? We've been doing some rebuilding, tearing things down. Maybe God's doing a little bit of renovating work on you and you haven't realized it until right now. He's tearing some things down. Now, well, while that's going on in your relationship, you might want to make sure that you might change out a new filter before you go through this renovation. Because renovation projects, I can tell you, get really dirty. It's different than just living. Especially if you're going to have a lot of tearing down. What's really nice about this, when there's some tearing down done by God, there's usually some better things built up. Would you tonight say, God, I'm having some relationship problems. And I've tried this, and I've tried that, and it's just getting hotter and hotter. God, I need an AC man to cool this down. Paul's him. He gives us the filter to run things through. So think about it this evening. Would you just, I can use this word, can I beg you tonight to check your filter? God's people and in God's families, there shouldn't be conflict going on all the time. It shouldn't be that way. If there is, there's something wrong with the thinking that's affecting the living. And I think we've got a passage here that gives us an indication and a real good guide. Filter your thinking. Then, watch this now. Once you've heard it, you've heard it. And if you've understood this, now you're on the hook to go what? Do it. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. Okay, that's your choice, sir. You'll be judged for it. You're going to have to reckon if you don't do. If you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer, you'll face that one. And I promise you, you'll regret it if you're just a hearer of the word. Would you stand with your heads bowed, your eyes closed? If you're going to help with the invitation or if you're going to respond to the invitation, would you come quickly, please, as we just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask right now, Lord, I don't know. I just even want to ask that if there's any moms and dads not getting along right now, I pray, Lord, that you'll help them this evening to check their filters. I can't imagine what it would be for some children to see mom and dads in conflict. And so, Lord, I pray right now, I lift them up, and I pray that the dads would even have the spiritual fortitude to take a lead here, Lord. And I pray if there's any young people here this evening that haven't been thinking the right things, I pray right now that you'll help them. Lord, I pray for the brethren. Lord, I pray that every one that would be your child here this evening would do business with you as their heavenly Father. Lord, I know you don't want your children fighting amongst each other. So, Lord, I pray this evening you'll find all of us being mindful of what you've taught us here this evening. We ask it in Christ's name.